This is Carrie Peters.
And Stacey Morgenstern.
And welcome to Better Than Ever, a Health Coach Institute podcast.
Where we're here to question how we do life because the normal rules no longer apply.
Hello, everybody. This is Hannah Duncan from the Better Than Ever podcast. I am here with the fabulous Carrie Peters. You probably know her. She kind of runs this place. Hi, Carrie. How are you?
Hey, Hannah. I'm super excited to be here. That's how I am.
Yay. I am so excited to have you here and to talk about this juicy topic today. For those of you who don't know her, Carrie is the co-founder of the Health Coach Institute. She is a passionate advocate for those who deal with eating disorders, postpartum depression, and is a body activist for women and moms of all ages and sizes. So Carrie, thank you so much for jumping on today. You recently did a pretty big thing at HCI Live in Dallas. Would you care to share a little bit about the speech you made at the fireside chat?
Well, sure. You know, one of the themes of that event was owning your magic. And what that really means is just owning you, all the wonderful parts about you, and your strength and your ability and your capability and your intelligence and your intuition and your creativity. And one of the things that's really tough, especially when you're a health coach, is to own your body, and own how you look, own your beauty, own your shape, own your size, because if you're a woman, you put pressure on yourself about your body, whether you're a health coach or not. And then if you're a health coach, it just sort of compounds that because there's an expectation of now I really have to look a certain way. And so you can end up being in this place where it's like, I want to have this big career and this big business, but I hate how I look and I can't have people see me, it's tough. It's hard to be out in front of people with a big business and also not have them see you. That's a very difficult feat to achieve.
In your speech at HCI Live, you asked everybody on a scale from 1 to 10 where they were, and 10 being like, I feel like a supermodel, I'm so proud of who I am, and then 1 being like, I can't even look in the mirror. And yeah. In 2017, you started to speak out about postpartum depression and embracing your body image. How did you feel at the time that you shared that picture of yourself on the Dallas stage? Where were you on that scale from 1 to 10 at that time?
You mean the naked picture?
Yes, the naked picture.
Well, at that time, I really did feel empowered of going, I just decided that, yeah, my body is not where I thought it was going to be after having a baby. My initial goal was I want to look better in my wedding dress than I did on my wedding day. That was my goal.
I do remember that.
Right. And I look back now and laugh. And at the same time, the thing about having a baby is that you just don't know what's going to happen afterwards. Like, you can't plan. And for someone who's a planner and for someone who's type A and wants to set a goal and achieve it, and like, that's just been such an important part of my life and my existence. And to not have life respond to that at all, in regard to my recovery from pregnancy, and was really difficult. And so I felt like at that moment, this is a way I can say, you know what? Things are different than I expected. And I took that photograph when I was 9 months out from having my daughter.
Yeah, you just had her.
Yeah. And I had been planning to have this boudoir photo shoot before I got pregnant. I was going to, do that. It was going to be something for my husband and for me. But for some reason, I had kept pushing it back. I can't remember why. And then I decided, you know what? No, I'm going to do it 9 months after having a baby. And I really had not lost any of the weight, even though I had tried really hard and I wasn't quite sure why. I knew I had postpartum at that time, but there was a little bit of lift in the darkness around the time of that photo shoot. And then it got tremendously worse after that. So I had this like shining moment where the clouds parted and I was like, I'm gonna decide that this is beautiful right here and I'm gonna take naked photos of myself. I was shown an image of a naked picture on the huge screens at the live event. And I just was like, okay, that's what I'm gonna do. And went, and I hated having my picture taken, but here I was in front of this amazing photographer in Chicago, butt naked and going like, okay, this is what I'm doing. And then, and I loved it. And I still love it to this day. And I'm super proud of that experience. And then after that, the postpartum just, and like my physical health deteriorated and the postpartum actually got significantly worse. So I look back on that moment of the photograph as like a really positive, wonderful moment in an otherwise very difficult time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I do remember that moment on stage and how powerful that was for me, a woman with curves, and for a lot of the other women out there in our community who, you know, not everybody is built the same way. And so seeing your leader step out and say, I am going to embrace the beautiful parts of my body, even though, you know, I may not look like a stick thin model walking down the runway, I still look beautiful and powerful. So I do remember that being sort of a defining moment for your story, is sharing that picture. And then not too long after that, I think it was about 2018, early 2019, you shared at a retreat the darker side of the story with your postpartum and all the things that you were going through and like the medical issues you were having and where you were just then starting to see the clouds lift. Could you talk a little bit more about that? I believe it was the January retreat of 2019 was when you really opened up about that.
Yeah, you know, I think actually it was the fall event of 2018 in the Fireside Chat.
Oh, yes, it was. You're right.
Yeah, and I told the whole story, and I think the reason I did is because I felt like it was behind me enough that I could tell it, and then I had the sense that I wasn't going to go backward. Like, I really was out of the woods. And because of that, I decided I would share sort of the real, what had really been going on. And honestly, I've almost forgotten your question because it's still such an emotional kind of thing.
No, that's okay. So I wanted to know, where were you? You know, you talk about this in your speech, this scale from 1 to 10. And at that point, where would you have put yourself on that scale when you started sharing?
Like in terms of how I felt about my body?
Exactly. Yes.
I think I was like inching up like 5, 6 because, I was so, maybe even a 7. I was so grateful to be healthy. It's not that I didn't care about my physical shape. I just, when it had been so bad, to feel good at all again was like just such a joy. It gave me actually a very different perspective and appreciation for how much it didn't matter, that I was a size, whatever. I think I was a size 12 at that time when I shared the story. And I had also felt like, you know what, I had decided I was going to get in the best shape of my life. And I'd also just decided, and I don't care how long it takes, like, this is just going to be a life journey. I'm not putting a time limit on this. It's not about being skinny, which, by the way, I've like never been skinny, maybe once or twice in my life, but for totally unhealthy reasons. And so it wasn't about that. It was just like this belief that my health and my body are going to be better than ever. And I don't know when it's going to happen, but as long as I feel good and I'm healthy, that's really what matters. The rest is just like, okay, because I'm setting a goal and I want to reach for it. And that's fun. But I've never, I mean, really, even since that time, I just absolutely never take my health for granted. Like every day that I wake up and feel good is a miracle.
On a scale from 1 to 10, how are you feeling at this event?
A 15. I felt absolutely amazing. The best I've ever felt from a energy perspective, my mood, my, I felt strong. I loved the clothes I was wearing. I felt like I chose the clothes very deliberately and specifically to be like a celebration of curves, that you're gonna, the clothes are body conscious, they're bold, they're daring, and not in a like a weird sexual way, because that would be totally inappropriate, but just like bold in a sort of feminine, powerful kind of way. I felt incredible, and I was so, so grateful. I mean, just for all the women who are coming back from having babies or coming back from any kind of illness, like it took me, that was 4 years of getting better. And getting, like, not getting my body back, quote unquote, but it's actually better than it was in terms of health. And that it just, there's such enormous pressure for it to happen immediately. Like, I saw women who their kid was 3 months old, and I looked at them and I was like, I just don't even understand. You look like you didn't have a baby at all. And I would just cry my eyes out going, what is wrong with me? Why is this taking forever? And then I finally just had to release that comparison and say, like, well, this is what the journey is. And so, I'm going to have moments where I'm going to struggle and be bummed. And then there are other moments where I'm just going to have patience and be determined and not give up and not care how long it takes.
And how do you release that comparison when you see somebody who just had the baby and they come out still like with a six pack and, you know, super like muscular arms? Like how do you stop the comparison when it comes to that? Or even in your coaching business, you see somebody doing really well and they've worked a shorter amount of time on their business than you have.
Yeah. Well, in that scenario, I actually think that comparison or a feeling of jealousy is somewhat useful, because when it comes to business, if someone else is doing something and I'm looking at them going, how are they doing blah, 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 what a wah. First of all, if I feel jealous or I'm comparing, it's because that person's doing something that I haven't given myself permission to do.
Ooh, that's a writer downer.
Yeah. That they're embracing something, being bold in some way. They're like, there, and I haven't let myself. And so I look at them and get angry because I'm confronted by the way that I'm limiting myself. And the second thing that's useful about comparing to someone else in some ways is going, well, if they can do it, it can happen, for it can be done. You know what I mean? So not only am I seeing, oh, here's the thing I actually really wish I was doing, and I'm angry at this person, but really I'm angry at myself. And if this person is doing it, why not me? I can do it. So why, maybe I should, you know? So that is the business thing, I feel like, is a little different. And it's not bad, like, to have those moments of comparing and feeling down and feeling jealous for the reasons I just shared. It's actually a good thing because it alerts you to where you need to grow. When it comes to comparing yourself to other mothers, I'm going to be completely candid. And the first thing that happens when I see someone who has a six pack at 4 months out from having a baby, as I turn to my girlfriends and I go, what the, pardon my French, and we commiserate. And like, I turn to them because there are so many women who don't have that experience. And this is not to knock the woman who has the experience of six-pack abs in 4 months. Like, oh my gosh, that's just what happened for her. And everybody has a struggle of some kind. Like, when you have a baby, everybody is brought to their knees in some way. And it may not be physical for them. Maybe their body is fine, but something is bringing them to their knees, because it's not possible that it's not. That's just becoming a parent, having a newborn, being down 1,000 hours of sleep, like struggling, and you know what? there's nobody who sails through that with no problem, I don't believe. And even if there is someone, well, then that's awesome. I'm happy for that person. But first, I'm going to talk with my girlfriends and be like, and that's just the truth. Because your friends are the ones who, you know, are there to love on you. And then once you get over that, you just logically know that everybody has a different path with their physical health and the way they recover and the way that they handle physical, mental, and emotional stress. And what I have to know and accept about myself is that it just hits me harder than other people, and it always has. And this experience is no different. Can I forgive myself for being less than perfect? I mean, especially for someone who's type A and feels like they have to be perfect or that they're never enough or it's never good enough. And certainly I'm all of that. So can I forgive myself for not being perfect, for it not being the triumphant story of, a year after she was born and now my wedding dress is falling off with me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can I forgive myself for, I didn't sign up, like say, oh gee, I'd love to have life-threatening postpartum depression. Like, it happened. I didn't choose it. So can I forgive myself for not being able to fix it or not being able to avoid it? Like, there was so much forgiveness and acceptance. And that was one of the biggest gifts of the whole experience.
And something that stuck out to me in your speech that you most recently did at HCI Live, you have to make the decision to love yourself instead of hate. And how do you do that? Where do you begin?
Well, I think the first place to begin is realizing that it is a decision, and that we do have a choice. And to sort of step back and look over, you know, for me, I think one of the first sort of things that led me to this was looking back over my life and the amount of time and energy I had poured and money into dieting, exercise, hating my body, avoiding mirrors, avoiding cameras. Like the amount of energy that I poured into that was so significant that I thought to myself, you know, if I took that energy and placed it elsewhere, what might I be able to do? And how is it that I actually, when, you know, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but when someone would take a picture of me years ago, I would look at it and just cringe and go, oh, it's hideous. That's a horrible picture.
Oh yeah.
But then like 2 years later or 3 years later, I'd look back at that picture and I go, oh wow, it's not so bad. I actually look really nice. And then I just remember, it's like, I wish I could remember the moment where I thought, wouldn't it be sad if I spent my entire life and went to my grave never really knowing my own beauty and always feeling like spending my entire life. And P.S., I won't be this age forever. So I'm going to spend my whole life hating myself and go to my grave and never be able to say and truly feel I'm beautiful. And it just struck me as so epically sad. And to have this sense of like, yeah, I look different. I'm not skinny. I'm not like, I'm Middle Eastern and Irish and I'm just different looking. And what if I could just lean into that? What if that could be like wonderful instead of something that I had to hide or feel embarrassed by? And so that's, I think, how it really started to shift and to go like, yeah, I get to see things in a different way. And in a lot of ways, it was me encountering coaching. I mean, that's the power of coaching, is the ability to see something from a completely new perspective. And when you see something from a new perspective, then new possibilities open up. Now I get to choose. Oh, well, I could hate how I look forever, or I could lean into the fact that I do look kind of different and I am really curvy, and maybe I could embrace that and it could be really fun. And actually, what if I sort of loved it in here in my body? And that's the sort of start of liberation. And that's one of the many, many gifts that coaching can give you, is to be liberated from this feeling of that your body is sort of this jail that you don't like and weren't meant to be in, and it should be something else.
And when did you start doing that for yourself on this journey?
Well, it started before I got pregnant. It started in my late 30s. I got pregnant at 40. So I would say this whole piece started maybe around 34, 35. And in some ways it was like such a bummer, because I'm like, I just started liking my body and now I'm pregnant and I'm gonna be huge. And honestly, I didn't hate being pregnant. It wasn't like I didn't have a terrible pregnancy, and I really did enjoy a lot of it. It's just afterwards, when things completely fell apart physically, that's when I really struggled and was like, man, I did all that work and here I am. But it actually served me, because if you believe that feeling beautiful is a decision, then it doesn't matter what the external circumstances are, which is, again, goes back to that naked photo. It's like, if I believe this, then where I am right now is I'm the one who decides that this is beautiful, nobody else. And if I have the power to make that decision, then I have the power to feel differently.
Now that you've become very outspoken about this topic to and for other women, why is that important for you to do as the mommy of a little girl?
Where do I begin? It's like, I could like burst into tears, because you think about this beautiful little girl and you don't want her to have like that kind of pain and agony that I had, at the same time having to recognize that she is human and she's going to have pain of some sort. I hope it's not around her body. And I hope what I'm showing her, like when I look in a mirror and smile at myself, or when I eat healthy food, or when I say, you know, mama's going to go exercise, or if she says to me, you look beautiful, and I say, thank you. Like, oh, thank you so much. And you're beautiful too. And, you know, like trying to show her in any number of ways that I love myself and care for myself. And that it's okay when I have days where, whether it's about my body or not, where I struggle and have feelings, or I might cry or whatever. But that's what I try to show her, all of that. And I know that I won't do it sufficient. So I won't do it to the point where she isn't human. In other words, like, she's going to have feelings, she's going to have wounds. And, I just am trying to do the best that I can to model a woman who loves herself. And certainly I, you know, as a parent, you feel like mostly you fall short. And I do think that there are some ways in which I can hear my friends going, that's not true. There are ways that I do well, sort of. You just never know. You don't know what the shrapnel of your parenting is going to be until your children are older. That's the issue.
That's true.
It is true. You just don't know. So it's like, the things that you're doing, you do to the best of your knowledge and the best of your ability, and you don't know how it's going to turn out.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of, I think, with all my friends becoming parents, they're like, is this going to be the thing that puts them in therapy, or is this going to be the thing that they write their college essay about being the best moment of their life?
You just never know. That's the truth. That's the exquisite torture of parenting.
And so do you think that little Evie has noticed a difference? I know she's pretty young, but do you think that she's noticed the difference in you?
She did. And she actually said that she was like, where's your big belly? Where'd your belly go? And notice like just changes in other parts of my body that she's still obsessed with. So yeah, she did mention it, and that that she didn't necessarily like it because it was new.
But, oh, interesting.
But that's, she hasn't mentioned that in a long time.
What about emotionally and like your state of mind? Do you think she's noticed that?
Oh my gosh, Hannah. I don't know. I mean, I feel like I shouldn't say this, but I wonder if many mothers who have postpartum depression, I am haunted by how that impacted her, because it went on for 2.5 years. I mean, a long time, and it was so severe. And all I can say is that I'm so grateful that I had a wonderful nanny who was amazing with her and was provided such a wonderful, loving, you know, mother sort of grandmother figure, and that there's no way it couldn't have affected her. And I just pray. It is my fervent prayer that it's like, didn't destroy, like, I, you know, I'm just, I just pray that she's all right from it. And I think that she notices, I don't know if she notices a change in my mood. The other thing is, you know, as a mom, whether you're working at home or working at home and working outside the home, because I hate the phrase working mom, every mom is working. It's just whether or not you have like 6 full-time jobs or 7. so, I mean, I'm just so tired a lot, you know, with the little one, because they have so much energy when they're young and they need so much from you that I think she sees me happy sometimes, but mostly she's hearing me say, "Mama needs to rest." I'm really tired. I don't know. I don't know. Hopefully her experience of me is better than it was.
No, and she's so young too. Like she's for those of you who don't know Carrie's little girl, she's about 4 and she is just the brightest, goofiest, sweetest little thing. Aww. So I think that she always seems very, very happy anytime I've ever seen her. So I think,
well, that is a miracle. And I feel like we're so fortunate, and just like every parent, I just pray that she's happy and okay and healthy.
Yeah, I think she's doing pretty well.
Thank you.
It's so, you know, you've been through quite a bit. You started off in the acting world, which is a very vain career path. Everything is dependent on your weight, you know, how you look, how you present yourself in a room. And then you went to becoming the face of, you know, one of the biggest health coaching schools in the world. So you've really spent a lot of your time in front of the camera or in front of people. Do you think that that's had or taken a toll on you? Or has that been a positive thing for you?
Taken a toll, like, has it been difficult to do that, or?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in my 20s and early 30s, it was unbelievably painful because I could barely look at myself, let alone have other people look at me. So theater was interesting because it wasn't on camera, which was just easier. And then you were in a costume, so you were sort of hidden. And that was easier. On camera was brutally difficult. And because I'm not like a thin person, I really struggled with on camera work, and I don't even know where to begin with that. Like, as an actor, I certainly wasn't castable as like the leading lady. That wasn't, but I also wasn't like the quirky girl. There was no like category for who I was on television, except in commercials where I played soccer moms all the time, which
probably
is fine.
At 19, soccer mom at 19.
Well, that's
the Hollywood way.
I didn't book any commercials at 19. I didn't start until I was in my 30s, actually, for that reason, because my category was mom. And I didn't start really getting those jobs until my 30s, but it was totally a struggle. Of course, you have to have photos and all this stuff. With coaching, you know, when I really started coaching, we didn't have social media. back in the olden days of 2006. So basically you were doing like an email newsletter every week and web pages here and there, and you might have had like 3 to 5 photos that you used over and over and over and over again. So there was way less actual exposure. And I remember when we, in 2011, when Stacy and I decided to do our first live training event, oh, Hannah, that's where I just went nuts. And I was doing Barry's boot camp 5 days a week. I literally was like, my body was eating itself from the inside from over-exercising. And got like, it just was crazy because I was so terrified about being on the stage in front of people. I knew there would be photos and videos. And so I had a super unhealthy response to that.
Just interesting as a coach.
Oh yeah. Well,
pointing that out. Yeah. As somebody who helps others get to the place where they need to be healthily, you were struggling with that yourself.
Totally. And this is a great thing to point out because coaches feel like they have to be perfect, but they're human. You know, I'm human. I have struggles. And that doesn't mean that you can't help people with their challenges, even when you have the same ones. And not only that, when it comes to body image and when it comes to like disordered eating, you know, to some degree, it might never totally go away. And that's not a bad thing because it's actually an alert to when something's up that needs attention. And then like in that scenario is like, here's what's up. You felt like you had things under control and you were doing okay, but the truth was it was because you just weren't very exposed. So now that you're exposed and people are seeing you more, actually this thing that you thought you might have handled is roaring back into existence. So, oh, okay. So here's an opportunity to address this anew. And that it's not a bad thing. It's like, I don't know if I'm ever going to be cured. And say like, I never have a bad day. I always think I look amazing. And now on top of everything, there's aging, which is fascinating and bizarre, right? And I just turned 45 and it's very weird, to notice changes and such. So it's never gonna 100%, I think, go away, but I also don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's a bellwether for when something is not aligned or something is too stressful, or there's a way in which I'm feeling like I'm not enough, or there's a way in which life feels out of control. So I wanna exert control over food or my body. Like these are all wonderful messengers of something being amiss.
Hmm. You know, one thing I did notice this event was we have this Dress to Express party, and there is a catwalk at the Dress to Express party, and Carrie Peters never does the catwalk, ever.
No, I know.
That is like nothing. I mean, in the years that I've been at these live events, I have not seen you walk down that catwalk up until... not this event, but the event before, where you went down the catwalk, but you hid the whole time. You were right behind these two ladies and really close. You were like totally hiding it. I've gone through the footage multiple times. I was like, can I use? No, I can't. She's hiding. You hid yourself down the catwalk. Yeah. And then this event, my girl got up on that stage and she stood in the middle of that catwalk and soaked up all of the cheers and the love. Why was this event so different for you? This was a huge moment. Most people probably don't know that, but if you've known Carrie Peters through the years, she does not do the catwalk. Even in her like 30s, she was not doing that catwalk.
No, I mean, it's like completely my nightmare. Like, oh my God, I'm gonna walk down a thing and people are gonna stare at me. At my own wedding, I was like hyperventilating. I mean, I was just utterly miserable because I just did not want people staring at me. It was so uncomfortable. So with the cat, you know, at this particular event to me felt like a rebirth. Like this is this is the thing that you have been working for so long, and now you get to enjoy it. And so I did, I just decided, and I actually asked my amazing stylist, Elsa Isaac, I said, you know, I never do this, but I think I would like to wear like a mini dress. I'm like, is that absurd? If there's something that's like age appropriate and, you know, appropriate for my body, let's try that. And she found this stunning fuchsia number, and, I loved it so much, and I felt so good. And I just thought, I am going to enjoy the hell out of this because it was so hard won.
You know, you really lived into enjoy the view, which is a big thing that you were saying in your body talk at the fireside chat. Own your body image, enjoy that view. And you really, really soaked it in that time. And showed us all. I remember when you started going down the catwalk, I turned to one of my coworkers, Haley, and I was like, oh my gosh, Carrie's going down the catwalk. What is going on here? Because she feels good.
That's right. And you know, that own your body image talk that I did at the event is really about going from the belief of don't look at me, I'm hideous, and sort of hiding, to opening up and standing boldly in front of people and having your eyes and your body say, enjoy the view, like enjoy what you see. And that it doesn't, like that isn't, the ability to do that has absolutely nothing to do with size or age or anything. It's all internal. It's an internal experience. And so that's what I think was so interesting about that, because I have been like, I'm a size 8 now. I've been a size 8 a lot in my life. Like, I'm not radically different from a size perspective than I was for most of my 30s or 20s. So it's not like, oh, all of a sudden I'm skinny. Now I get to enjoy the view. It wasn't that. It's just, it was a whole new appreciation for health and strength. And, you know, just, it was a celebration of like, I'm alive. I'm alive.
I really do love that you put the emphasis on this is not about your size or your weight. It is really about how you experience what your body is and how you experience the way you feel in it. And I think that's really important, because Carrie and I, we were talking earlier about how terrifying it would have been to have social media back in your teens and having to like live up to those Instagram models and comparison and looking at yourself versus them. And I feel like we all get kind of caught up on the number, like what size is my clothing? How much do I weigh? How many inches is my belly? Yeah. Like, and you know, this is all about you, and it's about you feeling good about yourself. And on that, what was one of the best compliments you got during this journey?
Well, certainly one of the most amazing things that happened was when I shared with our students in the fall of 2018 what had gone on behind the scenes in terms of recovering from postpartum, that the next day was Veterans Day. And a group of our Marine veterans presented me with a Marine like coin and made me an honorary Marine for my courage and my bravery. And I like could still choke up to this day. It was such an absolute beautiful moment. And I felt so floored and honored that you know, people of that caliber with that amount of bravery and courage would think that I have anything near what they do. Was such an honor. And then at this past event, just people just said, you just seem like you're glowing, like you're happy on the inside. And that's reading on the outside. And that was the best compliment I could have gotten.
You know, and it's interesting that it's about the internal, not the external, because you did look great. But I would say the biggest thing that I heard from others as well was she seemed so happy.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a huge accomplishment, knowing what you've been through the last 4 years.
Yeah. It was a long time.
It was a lot. I mean, but seeing you happy and seeing you comfortable, I mean, that was a great gift, this event, to really see you glow in that way. On top of looking amazing. But yeah, it was really nice to see that. So do you have any tips for other people to find that glow in themselves? Like, what is your number one tip that you can give out?
It's to find a community of people who are going down that same belief path, because like we were saying, when you're alone looking at magazines or social or whatever, it's just you can go down that rabbit hole of, I should look like these people, but I don't, therefore I am bad. And so to get with a group of people who are full of love and celebration and joy and the fervent commitment to loving who they are, no matter what, that is the best tip I can give. Because doing it alone is really hard. You're fighting a lot of old demons and old baggage. But when you're with other people, everyone sort of like draws each other up and lifts each other up and reminds each other that, like, hey, if you're having a rough day, you've got somebody to reach out to remind you that you're fabulous and beautiful. And that's what's true. We just need to be reminded of the truth sometimes. And that's why we need a community.
Yeah. And that can be for anybody, male, female.
Yeah.
Tall, skinny, short.
Absolutely.
No matter where you're from, like, you need a community no matter what you're dealing with. I know that in this podcast, we've talked a lot about the female body image, but, you know, men go through the same things, and maybe not postpartum depression, but they experience their own things. So
I feel like there was a hilarious show, and I'm trying to remember what it was, where it was about a couple who just had a baby and how the guy was going on and on about his postpartum depression. Oh no, I think it was Mike Birbiglia's stand-up comedy on Netflix called The New One. He was making jokes about his postpartum depression, I think.
Okay.
It was so funny.
We'll add that to the show notes, folks.
That's right. Yeah, you put that in the show notes. You're welcome, Mike Birbiglia.
Yeah, you'll get millions of views now.
That's right. Bajillions of views.
Welcome to HCI. Well, Carrie, I can't thank you enough for sharing what you have shared with the community thus far, and your vulnerability, being open. I mean, for those of us who have been following your story, you really have been very gracious with the content that you've given us and the parts of your journey that are not easy. So I just want to thank you, as a female who does struggle with her own weight and her own issues, that I really do admire what you've done and how open you've been. And I know people that I love, that I'm very close to, who have been directly impacted positively by your ability to share your story and know that they're not alone. So thank you for sharing it. You've been
thank you. Amazing. Thank you so much.
Do you have a favorite quote or lyric or mantra that you would like to give to all of the Better Than Ever podcast listeners?
Yes. Well, you know, the photographer in Chicago who did my boudoir photo shoot is amazing. Her company is called The Atelier, and her name is Cara Garabino, and she's incredible. And the tagline for her business is, every woman is an icon. And I loved it. So I knew she'd be my photographer when I saw that, because that's what's true. Mm-hmm. We all have our own brand of beauty, and we are all iconic. And when we find that in ourselves and embrace it and express it, then we're free inside.
Well, I will make sure to put that in the show notes, as well as I'll add the podcast interview that we did back in 2017 about this topic, but a little different part of the story, as well as there is a video of Carrie's journey. I'll link that in our show notes as well, for those of you who want to get caught up on you know, what she shared with us thus far. And Carrie, thank you so much for jumping on the Better Than Ever podcast. We can't wait to see you at our next live event, which is in Charlotte.
So that's right.
Folks, if you want to come on out, all you need to do is go to www.hcilive.com and you can come hang out with us. Carrie is going to be there. I'm going to be there. Stacy is going to be there. Eric and Bill and all of the dream team, as well as our amazing coaches. So please check out www.hcilive.com. Thank you again, Carrie.
Thank you.
So we began the evening asking on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being I'm hideous, don't look at me, and 10 being enjoy the view, do you feel that you've moved up at least one notch on that scale? Beautiful. So here's how we are going to complete the evening. We're going to go ahead and stand up, and together, what I want you to just say out loud and proud, get in your stance, you'll say your phrase and enjoy the view. And we'll do it 3 times and I'll cue you, okay? Just so we get to declare it out loud to this room, to this energy, to everything around us in the ether. This is who I am now, right? So on the count of 3, we'll go ahead and say the phrase and enjoy the view 1 time in your stance. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Give yourselves a round of applause! And that was a good practice one. That was a good practice one. Now we're gonna go ahead and do it again on the count of 3 with a little more oomph, but you be in your stance. You're just gonna dial up the energy of it. Don't get out of your stance though. On the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Three, now you're really gonna go for it. Final one, ready? 1, 2, 3.
Tuning in to Better Than Ever, a Health Coach Institute podcast. For more information on our programs, please go to www.healthcoachinstitute.com. Comment and share if you like what you hear.